I think you have to realize that every aspect of your health flows out of sleep. So if your sleep is not optimally in duration or in quality, your health will suffer. You cannot lack sleep and heal.
Welcome to the Imperfectly Empowered Podcast with DIY healthy lifestyle blogger, Anna Fulmer, empowering you to transform your life. One imperfect day at a time.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Imperfectly Empowered Podcast. I am your host, Anna Fulmer. Today we have Kelsey Jack on the show. Kelsey is a functional health practitioner and founder of the successful program called Reclaim Sleep. It is a six-week course designed to get to the root of your sleep problems so that you can overcome insomnia for good. Who is not excited about that? I am very excited to learn from Kelsey. Welcome, sleep expert Kelsey Jack.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well.
I'm so excited about this. I can't wait to chat about
I'm
sleep.
I'm excited. Yes. Oh my goodness. It's my favorite subject, but it comes from a lot of trauma. So
yeah, which is perfect.
Yes. It's how our stories, I think, are like best learned sometimes. So
yeah.
Well, welcome to my husband's like work area / my recording closet. I really need to like convert this to my own, but for now, I'm sorry. It kind of looks industrial.
No worries. Okay. No worries. We are real life.
Yes. I'm all
welcome
about
to
that.
The Imperfectly Empowered Podcast. Yes, all about embracing the reality that exists, and it's often very imperfect. I always joke. People are like, "I love your background. It's so pretty." But in reality, if you could see like the rest of the room,
I'm stuck
in a closet. This is a closet that I took the doors off because we're renting this house. So
love that though. I was watching the founder of Buff Bunny. It came out of San Antonio, that company. And she's just like a really inspiring female entrepreneur. She's grown her line from like nothing to global now. And they bought this townhouse for the headquarters of Buff Bunny. And she had a GC come in and like put in these doors that if you press a button, you can't see through them. And then you press another button and it's like through the townhouse. So it's like a really cool take on like just utilizing the space that you have just in a totally different non-traditional way, which I love. So
you're saying she was the reason for the see-through doors was just to make it more of a studio?
Well, like when she's recording or working, it's as if, you know, she has these doors in front of her, but then like people come over or whatever, it all automatically just glass doors that you can see.
Interesting.
Through.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool.
That is really cool. Oh, yeah. I'll store that away for later. I love outside of the box ideas.
Yes. Yes.
Especially when I only have to press a button. That sounds.
Yep. I know. It's very so cool. It was efficient. Really neat.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Well, for everyone listening, we are here with Kelsey Jack. When I pulled you all and I asked what was something that you wanted to hear about on the podcast, several of you said sleep. And I shouldn't have been surprised by this because this is a massive, massive issue for so many of my fitness nutrition clients. This is true of men and women, but I primarily work with women. So this is, as you all know, something I'm incredibly passionate about, that is the holistic reset button for the body. And getting restorative sleep is essential for your health across all five pillars. Everything is affected by good sleep. So I decided to pull in an expert. This is Kelsey Jack. And I love pressing the rewind button a little bit. So you have this program called Reclaim Sleep, but then you also have it is under the umbrella of another company. And I like hearing how you got to where you are and why you are suddenly in this world of sleep expertise. It's not something you like start and think, I'm going to be an expert on sleep one day. So how did you get here?
And I was kind of alluding to like the path that took me to where I am at now was not rainbows and unicorns, and it was not a happy story. So to answer your question, I have the brand Holywell. And I just launched the Holywell Academy. So what that is that encompasses all of your capabilities to come and work with me or work on that platform. So I have the Reclaim Sleep course, but I just launched a 90-day signature program, which is fully customized for 90 days. and I pull labs, and we work very closely together in that journey. However, mm-hmm. answering your question directly of my story, yeah, my sleep issues started, you know, looking back, right? It's always like 20/20 vision. If you had known what mm-hmm. you'd known, you would have gone, oh, that really makes sense. So growing up, I had a really amazing childhood. My parents are amazing people. We grew up on a ranch. I grew up ranching, roaming, and riding horses, and spent literally pretty much 24/7 outside. And if we were not on our ranch, we were at the baseball field with my brother, because my brother was very competitive in baseball. And so just like a really cool, like country town, small community, loved that. But unfortunately, what we know now about the gut microbiome and the connection there, I was a cesarean baby, and we inherit our mother's microbiome and a lot of other health, you know, statistics and sort of things like that, because she grew you for 9 months and that's what you're born with. And I was a chronic ear infection baby. So I was always on antibiotics and eventually got tubes, and that helped quite a bit. Unfortunately, that spilled over into middle school and high school. High school, I was playing competitive soccer, running, cheerleading, pretty much anything I could do. And it was really starting to show. My energy levels were plummeting. I was always getting injured. I had bone fractures constantly. And in fact, I had to take a break from cross country because I had to swim because my bone fractures were getting so bad. And just really lethargic, was put on Accutane twice because my skin was a wreck. Well, it's no wonder looking back now why that is. And I was eating a lot of trigger foods. So gluten, and my microbiome just was not in a good position. Fast forward to college, you're kind of stepping into the great unknown there, right? Of all these firsts, and the stress is really, really high, especially freshman year. Like, I went to a very disciplined school, and so I felt prepared in that way, but I think it was just the amount of school that you're going under in your freshman year. But I loved school. However, you know, you take this transition from high school to college, and I really realized at that point in time how much my mom did for us. It's these moments where you're just like, grow this immense appreciation. And I was like, my mom cooked for us, clean, you know, the whole thing. And of course, we did stuff like that too. But you get to college and you're like, okay, what do I eat? What do I do outside of my normal day to day? And so I took up what I feel females do, is they either swing in one extreme or the other. And I fell on the one extreme. And that was, I was running 3 times a day just to let go of my stress. And I wasn't eating enough. Looking back, I didn't know that at the time. And it just really took a toll on my body. And so when I got married and we wanted to start a family, obviously got pregnant, and here I was in labor. And first time labor is pretty traumatic for any mom, but I was in a 43-hour labor. I didn't eat, sit, sleep, none of it. And I slept 4 hours the night I had my daughter. And after that, I didn't sleep for 2 weeks straight. So mix adrenal burnout with a, like, kind of PTSD at that point, honestly. And it really just highlighted, whoa, I am mentally not in a good space and I need sleep. And so this is kind of where the rubber met the road for me in my holistic health journey, because prior to getting pregnant, I was struggling, real talk, with just chronic UTIs. We were newly married, and once a month I was having a UTI, and I was like, okay, I cannot live like this. Like, the pain was horrible. Like, you just, it's not a quality of life you want to endure. So going the traditional medical route, because you don't know any better, my PCP, my primary care provider at this point, was like, you know what? Like, you really need to go see a urologist, a specialist. And I was like, okay. Her solution to me was, okay, you need to be taking an antibiotic before every time. And I'm like, what? Like, that does not seem normal.
Before every time what?
Before I was having sex. Every
before
time.
Before sex, take an antibiotic. Heard that.
Every what? Single time. Yeah.
Okay. I've heard a standing prescription for antibiotics that as soon as you start to feel the symptoms, then you can start the antibiotics because you know your body. So I have never, ever heard that advice.
Yeah. That's crazy. Her solution to like a preventative care. And wow. So I called my mom and I was like, I'm pissed off. Like, yeah. This cannot be the solution. So we reached out to a good family friend who was a retired RN. She called me and she was like, has anyone ever told you to take a probiotic?
Right.
And I was like, I don't even know what that is, but this was like 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
This is really when holistic health was kind of, you know, like in the seed stage, like people were kind of learning about it.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I took one probiotic, never had a UTI, and have never had a UTI again. So something clicked that day, but I was, you know, child-free at this point. I was working, getting up early, and I was the girl who on the weekends, I earned my workouts. So if I ate the night before, I was at the gym. I had to make my HIIT class by 7:30 in the morning. I specifically remember my husband being like, you need to let your body rest and recover. That's how you build muscle. And I was like, you know, when you're in that phase of like, I'm going to do this, there is no stopping what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And so I was just determined. But that's really when I was like, oh my God, I'm really burning my body out. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it showed up postpartum. So similar to the UTI story, I wanted to kind of bridge that connection there is I went the natural route because I have my body just doesn't react well to anesthesia. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to mind over matter. We're going to do a natural birth in the hospital. I did it. I was successful with that. Very proud of myself. However, when these symptoms started to show and I was so desperate for sleep, I went to my midwife and I was like, what's going on here? Surely it's a hormonal shift, but I need answers. I need a solution in the meantime. Like obviously sleep's not going to be that great with a newborn. But I've got to be able to get some sleep. I wasn't napping. I wasn't able to sleep. I literally felt like I could have gone out at night and run a marathon. That's how much energy I had. And we'll talk about that connection with cortisol and adrenals in a little bit. It was bad. And the only solution was, you know what? I think we need to put you on a strong anti-anxiety and a strong sleeping medication. And I was like, you people, I am getting so sick of here. Here's your symptom. Here's a pill. Mm-hmm. And I just really felt in my spirit, there is something so much deeper going on here. And I want to make the connection of what is happening in my body, why these symptoms are appearing. And I just knew this was not a language of a body that was at peace with itself. And so I went on this quest, if you will. And I think this is the greatest moment in life when trials meet mission and it all kind of clicks for you. And so my cousin reached out to me and she's like, hey, I think you really would be good at this program. And it was the Nutritional Therapy Association. And I was like, listen, if this will help me figure out what is going on with my body, but while also providing answers for other people and other females that are equally as rattled with their symptoms, I'm going to do it. So every night, my baby turned 4 or 5 months old. Every night after she went down, I was studying. And a year later, I got certified as a nutritional therapist. And this really set me on the journey of figuring out how everything was related to sleep. And I'll touch on this later too, but there's a big trauma piece and trauma is kind of taking a front seat in the holistic health space as well right now. And as we know, we're not just physical beings, we're mental, emotional, and spiritual beings as well. And so I think addressing the root causes in addition to doing a lot of mindset work and trauma resolution and those things really hold a lot of answers that people don't think about at first. So that's a very important piece of the story as well. And there is a book by Chris Kresser that really rocked my world, and it's called Unconventional Medicine. And it breaks down just how broken our system is in that way. And I know specifically for females and in just launching this 90-day program, we're not taught how our bodies function at the most basic level. Mm-hmm. And it is mind-blowing to me. Like even if you look at the majority of research, it's done on males for intermittent fasting, for weight loss, for all of it. We're not included in the research. Just up until about, I think, 10, 12 years ago, we really started to be put in the research, which makes you rethink everything that you think you know.
Mm-hmm. Which I will say, one of the reasons for that is pregnancy. Now, that's not an excuse, but one of the reasons women are not as present is because of literally the years that we simply cannot risk being in research studies because of pregnancy. However, it's still not an excuse. As you are saying, to your point, a lot of research, the fitness world is just like that. A lot of times programs are created for men.
Yes. And I would say, like, you know, in research, we can include not pregnant women. And so
exactly. Absolutely.
It's just this thing of like, the four phases, if you don't know this, you have four phases of your cycle. It's not just when you're on your period. Mm-hmm. Like, you have four very distinct phases of your cycle. And something I read really resonated with me the other day is even our work, how the world works and our schedule of work is based on a 24-hour cycle. Well, a man is on a 24-hour cycle. They wake up and basically have the same exact hormone levels. We do not. From week to week, we vary based on how we think, how we feel, and how we can be productive. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, wow, this is an incredible shift to see in this atmosphere right now of how we can start to serve women where they're at and how they're uniquely made, because we are uniquely made. And the reality is, there are certain phases where you're productive and you're on fire mentally, physically, emotionally, and we can really work in that phase of our cycle versus I tell women, like, let's not go crazy in the gym the week before and the week of your period, because just not honoring, you're not going to get the best outcome based on the hormonal levels where you're at. And of course, this affects sleep too. So you may feel you don't sleep that great the week before and the week of your period. Well, that's obviously, we've got some work to do if that's a sign and a symptom that you have going on. So it's all interconnected. And I think the overwhelm that a lot of females feel, especially pertaining to mood and sleep, right? These are two big things for females, is this confusion around not knowing how our body functions at a very basic level, like I said earlier. And so I'm here to just offer kind of bridging the gap between misunderstanding around physiology and around your hormones, around your sleep. All those things will click for you if you just understand how your body works at a deeper level. Also, symptoms can be one of the greatest tools in your toolboxes if you allow it. However, I find that most females, we are trained in Western society, the minute a symptom shows up, I need to go to the doctor. Well, their answer is going to be prescribing a pharmaceutical.
Or I need to Google it, and then I'm overwhelmed by the information, and I don't know how to sort through it.
Yes. And so we do on this mission of like trying to figure out, and there could be 90 answers, but the reality is you are a unique individual. Everyone's bio-individual. You deserve to be looked at individually. And so that was a big, big part of my story and how I am where I am now. And there was a lot of anxiety. I struggled really badly with postpartum anxiety. And so out of that, with just the newness of being a mother with a newborn, the anxiety led to a lot of obsessive compulsiveness, because I needed to control my external space to feel like I have some of my control here, because I'm not able to control my sleep. And I felt like everything was happening to me physically and mentally and emotionally. So I just needed something to take that edge off. And so that became where like the OCD fit into the picture. And one of the biggest turning points in my learning journey with sleep was actually a book called The Mood Cure by Julia Ross. I'm not sure if you've ever read that. It is an indispensable resource. I recommend every single person own that book, especially in today's age, because she talks very deeply about the nervous system, the connection of nutrient depletion, how this impacts mood, sleep, and your sanity, essentially. And so this really was like a click moment for me.
Is it a book that primarily focuses on nutrition? Is that what she's focusing on there?
She has two books now. The Mood Cure is really talking about isolated nutrients in supplementation form and how they can truly bridge the gap and offer hope to you if you feel like there's just something off with me emotionally, mentally, and sleep-wise. And so she takes a very deep dive into some of the needs that need to be met for the body in order to function optimally. So this was a really incredible resource for me in my journey. And so I wanted to highlight that as well. Like, if you're in a really bad spot and you just need some wisdom there, that is a great resource. I recommend it to all of my clients, my friends, my family.
And say it one more time. It is The Mood Cure.
The Mood Cure by Julia Ross.
Julia Ross. We'll include that in the show notes. It's interesting. You said, my husband and I have talked about this many times. When we look back at the standard education as kids, we think like, and my husband is, he was a math teacher and an engineer. He's now a computer programming teacher. So this is not knocking math, but in reality, I would have benefited significantly more from a physiology class once a year instead of a math class once a year. Certainly a foundation of math, but did I really need pre-calc? I probably would have benefited from a tax course. How to do your taxes.
Yes.
Why taxes even matter? What is compounding interest? What is, like, you know what I mean? Like, let's actually make it practical. Not to mention, okay, I have two ovaries, and when this happens, this, and this is why I'm having a period, like, you know, it really is. That is something that I think we are starting to recognize more and more, even just with the idea of tech schools, which sounds like a weird correlation, but it is the concept that we're talking about. The idea that let's start making education practical, not just informational.
Yes.
That we can actually use it in the real world.
Absolutely. Well, I think too, for females, what a service, because when you do have that first period, man, hormonally, you're just a mess. But looking back at it, it's because of two things. I think women are underserved in education in that that capacity, and just knowing, like, if I would have known, okay, this is coming, this is how I was going to feel, you can somewhat feel prepared mentally, like, this is not abnormal, okay? But also what we deem normal now in Western civilization is actually common, but it's not normal. It's not normal behavior of the body to have severe bouts of anxiety and burnout and fatigue and insomnia and just like OCD or whatever it may be, that the hormonal fluctuations that are happening to you, there are things we can do on the front end so you're not experiencing these things on the back end.
Right.
And so there's a lifeline of hope there. It's not just like, these things happen to me, I just have to deal with them.
And I have no idea why they're happening. Yeah, for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And for those of you listening, I don't know
why.
Yes, absolutely. The why behind the what. I don't know if you have talked to Jenny Swisher at all. She was on the podcast. She's a hormonal health expert. And, you know, we were talking about this too, but the importance of being able to correlate the why behind the what of female hormones. And really, it's shedding some light on some of the symptoms. And just because it hurts does not necessarily mean it's bad. It's understanding to weed through, okay, before we just throw hormones or throw birth control or fill in the blank. So definitely check out Jenny Swisher. You can search her sync.
Yes, I love her.
Your hormones. Yes, but she is right to what you are saying there as well.
Well, and even like, there's a new documentary just that came out. It's called The Business of Birth Control. I truly feel every female should be required to watch that, to arm themselves with knowledge before they go and their doctor is telling them, you need to do this, or I would recommend this. Because the reality is, the side effects of birth control, if you open the insert, it's from your head down to your knees. At that point, we need to be telling women, you know what? If you have endometriosis, have you tried balancing your blood sugar and taking inositol? Or if you're struggling with chronic acne outbreaks and these sorts of things, maybe we should balance your diet and get you off gluten. Maybe dairy is a trigger. We need to run a nutrition response test on you. These are not things that doctors are taught. So they don't know, because they go to a school of medicine. They learn how to prescribe medicine. I love modern day medicine for acute emergency situations. However, when we're talking about lifespan and optimal living, we overdo things in the prescription realm, which leads to other symptoms. So then you're put on another pill for another symptom.
Yeah. And it's such a multi-layer. I mean, I just had an interview with Dr. Keith Johnson. He's an orthopedic surgeon, but he even says this, we have said this so many times, that in the medical education, whether you are in nursing, whether you're a doctor, fill in the blank, the reality is, it is more like disease care, not health care. And
it is not preventative care.
The issue is that we have this extreme gap between, it's like we have alternative medicine or quote unquote all natural medicine. I mean, there's a million words for this, which, you know, has its own issues. And then there's traditional medicine. And the problem is they shouldn't be like this. They should be like this. They need to be integrative and applied appropriately within their places. And there needs to be more overlapping education so that you don't just have alternative medicine providers who are truly clueless to traditional medicine and research, and then traditional medicine that are truly clueless to what you're saying, you know, the more functional side of it. So it is a huge, huge issue. And I love when we have people on here who are passionate about combining both of them. Everyone's heard me say this before, but I personally don't feel they should live in extremes. We need to integrate them. So I love alternative. I love traditional. But most importantly, we need to practice integrative medicine where we're learning how to...
Hey, parents.
Yeah, you.
Are you looking for a podcast your kids will really love?
Well, we made one just for you.
And for us.
As genuine, all-natural kids ourselves, we know what makes a fun and interesting podcast.
So we decided to make it ourselves. Every show is packed with interviews, stories, and on-the-ground reporting.
We have interviewed everyone from scientists to Grammy Award-winning musicians to NFL quarterbacks.
Listen to Wild Interest wherever you get your podcasts.
Combine
them. And I think a big reason that you see that, and you know, this is somewhat of a controversial statement, however, it's just the truth, is pharmaceutical companies are competing with natural alternative care because it's in their investors' best interest that they keep a high patient load. So well, there
even
is
above that, it's insurance.
Yeah, 100%.
Insurance 100. Is what rules the world. If you're really interested in learning more, again, listen to the interview with Dr. Keith Johnson. But people don't understand the layers in the medical system where ultimately it is about, it's a business. Medicine is a business and it's unfortunate. So things get taken out of context. And it is true, pharmacy companies often will fund their own studies, which then has some ethical. But again, you have to look at research. If it's a really well done study, then even if they funded their own research, in theory, that does not necessarily mean that it is not a good study. And therefore, you know, it's just, it's so convoluted to your point. And this is exactly why we need to be able to hone in on the science. And that's why I love, like, when there are people like you who are really niching down, especially like where you're diving in and you are truly an expert in an area, and you have the ability to take a more comprehensive approach, like sleep, which is so essential. So I get very excited about that.
I'll never forget, because I was at a conference a few years back and I was talking to a doctor, an MD, and he runs a very high-end program. I believe it's out of Tucson, Arizona. And we were chatting all things mental, emotional, sleep, and its impact on women specifically. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget what he said, and I think it will ring true with a lot of people too, is what was meant to be a bridge has become an island in medicine. We put women on medicine and it becomes an isolation. Like, this is your only hope. This is the only thing we can do for you. That's bullshit. And I am so sick of that model, because we deserve better. We deserve better answers and better care. And I think a lot of good comes though from that, because we do our own research and we dig, and when females will find an answer, right? We're very innovative and we're very exploratory and curious. And so a lot of good has come out of the inability for me to get the care that I really wanted and the answers that I really wanted. But what he said really stuck with me, because he said, when I'm working with a patient, we can offer the hope of an immediate solution through medicine. Listen, y'all, if you need to get on sleep medication, do it. It saved me, literally saved me from so much, because sleep is the how you function, your brain, your body, your appetite, all of it. And so if you need that bridge until you're working on the root cause and a deeper issue, 100%, that's where I love, in the immediacy, we have hope for you. But it cannot be an island in the fact that, like, well, I guess I have to be on sleeping medication for the rest of my life.
Yep.
Well, that's where that really becomes an issue, because we need to work on what is driving the insomnia. Is it mental and emotional? Is it purely emotional? Is it purely nutrition? Is it, what is it? What's going on? And so I think to really honor a female in that, we want to offer her comfortability and the immediacy, because really, if we're able to join with a PCP and say, you know what, I really recommend you talk to your doctor. I think you need to get on something that is just going to give you stability in the meantime. Mm-hmm. It's going to give you a really mm-hmm. good night's sleep. You'll feel sane enough over yeah. time, and your body will start to repair enough. Your cortisol is going to level out. Your adrenals are going to start to level out. You're going to your glymphatic system, which is your brain. It's how it cleanses itself at night. Your brain is also a detox organ. And so we need to get to that point so we feel rested and we feel sane and we can actually just go about our day like a normal human being. And then when the client is comfortable, we're going to start to work mm-hmm. on these root cause issues. But I'm all about tackling something head on, especially when it's as serious as lack of sleep, because yeah. you need to sleep, and whatever's going to get you there in the meantime, and then we'll start to work on that.
Yeah. And I'm glad you pointed that out. And for, you know, for those of you listening and watching, I have mentioned this before, but again, this idea of integrating the two, the traditional and alternative, into an integrative approach, you know, in emergency yes. medicine, quite literally, we're there to stabilize and then disposition, mm-hmm. meaning we are only there to make sure that you are stabilized, and then we send you out to wherever you need yeah. further care. But it is essential, because in reality, when your blood pressure is sky high, do I want to just put you on another medication and send you out the door? No, there's so much more that needs worked on. Your diet needs change. You need more exercise. Mm-hmm. But in reality, changing your diet will mean nothing if you die of a stroke. So the bottom line is, traditional medication, pharmacy, pharmaceuticals are okay. As Kelsey just yes. pointed out, they're not mutually exclusive of each other. It is okay to stabilize your condition. And in this case, when we're talking sleep, again, working on your sleep is no good if you are so mentally disabled that you're considering taking your life because you're so depressed. Yes. Or that you literally can't get yourself off the couch, or you are so anxious that you can't function. Frankly, you are going to struggle, because just simply going through the steps to work on your sleep is not enough. So hear us. We're both saying this. If you mm-hmm. need some sort of intervention right now, there is zero shame in it. It is a stabilizing effect so that you can get to the root cause and ultimately thrive and come off of the medication. God willing, that is the goal. And it's possible.
Well, and to your point, we live in a society culture that's so toxic on so many ends, not just physiologically, mm-hmm. not just what mm-hmm. we're eating and drinking, but stress, caffeine consumption, social media consumption, the constant mm-hmm. dopamine hit.
We're a society of extremes.
When we are in that extreme, you have to be met with something that can tackle that extreme. And sometimes holistic medicine cannot meet you there right then and there. Mm-hmm. It can meet you when you get here. So that is where I literally kiss my sleeping medication, because I am so grateful that I had it when I needed it, and it offered me that lifeline, because extreme has to meet extreme. And so I know for my mamas, right, I have a lot of good friends that had to go on very hardcore anti-anxiety medications postpartum. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because your thyroid was a wreck before you were even pregnant. Your adrenals were tanked. Your blood sugar is unstabilized. You're insulin sensitive. But now, because you're that far, we've got to meet you there with your PCP. And then we'll do some really good groundwork. And hopefully we can get you off of that.
Yeah,
that is up to the discretion of your PCP. But I think you'll feel so good that you won't need it anymore. But that is something I really want to highlight. Like, I think we can say so passively, there's no shame in taking medicine. No, there's no shame. And there's also, it's necessary sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I think we do women a disservice in going, here's why you feel the way that you feel. Here's why yeah. you are struggling with insomnia and anxiety. And a lot of that is yeah. because our adrenals are taxed. We have extreme nutritional deficiencies. Our environmental toxins are so high. We have chronic latent infections, bacterial, viral, pathogens, whatever that may be. Our mental, emotional trauma is not resolved. And so it is a layered cake. It's stimulants, yeah. exercise, all that. And so,
and why it takes all of us, I think that's the key piece too. And you've pointed this out beautifully multiple times. And as a traditional medical provider historically. I can also say, I have said this before, that a lot of the reason that traditional providers are not going, they don't have time. I'm a perfect example of that. I could have spent an hour in most of my ER patients' rooms explaining to them in a very well-educated, well-researched way how you can actually change your life so that you're no longer on blood pressure medicine. But I did not have the time, and that is highly unfortunate. And I was unique in that I actually had the knowledge because I had the self-knowledge and the drive to understand it. But for many traditional providers, we get none of that education. So if nothing else, I hope this pushes women in the next generations too, as they come up through medical school, to be the change, to change the education that goes into our degrees. Because I will also, you know, defend a lot of providers. We don't have the time, and we've not gotten the education, which is why this is what I love. This is why when we integrate these two, where we have a holistic or a functional provider ultimately working hand in hand, it's all about collaboration. It's all about collaborating, no matter what letters are behind your name.
Well, in the system, it's literally not a fault of many doctors. What I get really angry, though, is when a doctor is not willing to hear another side. And that's where you just become so myopic, because you've just done it this way for so long.
On both sides. I've met it on both sides.
100%. And so,
agreed.
I think that's very important. And I think there's a trending reel right now where it's like, you know, just for example, my blood pressure is high because I'm stressed. I'm stressed because my blood pressure is high.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if we were to teach people what stress really is and physiologically how it manifests and how it impacts everything from insulin, blood sugar, sleep, mood, all of it, then your blood pressure may not be so high. But in the meantime, here's some blood pressure meds while we work on the existing issue. Same thing with sleep. Same thing with sleep.
Which is why we are here. We are going to help you if you're like, okay,
let's dive into it.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, stay tuned. We're going to play a speed round of this or that with Kelsey, and we are going to hear her expert advice on how to fall asleep fast and overcome insomnia, plus a whole host of other things. Stay tuned right when we come back.
You have tried it all. Worried you will never lose the extra weight or reclaim the energy you once enjoyed? Want to achieve fat loss without spending hours in a gym or eliminating entire food groups from your diet? Well, now you can. In the virtual Faster Way to Fat Loss with Anna, my 6-week fitness and nutrition program, you will learn how to pair effective 30-minute workouts with all natural, evidence-based nutritional strategies to leverage what you eat and when you eat to reset your metabolism and burn fat fast, even that stubborn belly fat. I am a dual certified nurse practitioner passionate about teaching sustainable strategies to promote fat loss and prevent disease. I have cheered on thousands of clients who have done just that with the Faster Way program. In my 6-week program, the average client currently sheds 7 inches of body fat. 93% report more energy, and 89% state that their mental health has improved. 100% of clients report they feel this program is sustainable. Curious to try the program but not sure if the strategies will work for you? Try the Faster Way strategies for free. Head to www.hammersandhugs.com and sign up for my free 7-day fat loss accelerator course today and start your own transformation story.
Okay, we are back here with Kelsey. Kelsey, two options, no stress, whichever one comes to mind first. Would you rather candy or baked goods?
Ooh, I would have to say baked goods.
What's your favorite baked good?
I love chocolate, so anything chocolate.
Do you have a very favorite chocolate recipe? Like if you could have this one thing.
Yes, I love chocolate tres leches cake. So I'm in San Antonio, Texas, and tres leches is like a whole thing. I also love flan, but we had a lady that worked for us years ago, and she made me a chocolate tres leches, and it was divine, literally. That's I still amazing. Dream about it.
Her subconscious is still there with the chocolate tres leches. That means it's a good recipe. Would you rather a paper planner or digital calendar?
Paper all the way. I grew up in the 80s.
See, I knew we would be friends. Do you have color-coded markers as well or pens?
I have all the highlighters, all the jelly pens. I love jelly pens. I am a Lisa Frank. Like, I grew up in the Lisa Frank era.
Okay? We must be very similar in age because I did too. That's so funny.
So I will say, though, there's science that backs this, right? Like, we want to be all digital because we think we're progressive.
Yeah, there is actually cool science behind writing things on paper. Yep.
Yeah. That's why journaling and all that is so effective, but it just, it helps the brain retain better instead of forgetting things. So if you're really trying to work on memory retention, write things down, physically write them down.
That is true. Would you rather get a pedicure or a manicure?
Petty all day long.
Amen. I met somebody the other day who always refuses the foot massage at her pedicure. And I'm like,
Who are you?
I know. I literally don't think I said anything. I was like, wow, I'm speechless. This is a first.
You are weird.
Yeah. Can you like get I'll some come. Sort of pass? Seriously, so that I can take it. What? Mm-hmm. Why go? Anyway. Flats or heels?
Ooh, I love a good wedge because I think they're just comfortable, just like a flat, and they kind of support the whole arch. I don't like stilettos or anything like that. They hurt my feet so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're still cute. Wedges are cute.
Yes.
Well, flats are cute too. I love shoes.
Yes, I do too.
Would you rather go to New York or Paris?
Neither. I have zero desire.
You know what? Actually, you're the first one that's ever said that. But if I asked myself the same question, it would be a very similar answer. I'm not a city girl. Mm-hmm. They just don't really flip my boat.
I hate.
So where would you want to go?
It's actually a huge bucket list item. I would love to go to New Zealand, Sweden, and Switzerland. So we are big mountain people around here. Mm-hmm. I just don't think you can beat the mountains, but New Zealand, you have both. So it's like, what? My husband's from Colorado. And so we're all about, he just got back from Teton National Park, Yellowstone. So he was in Wyoming and Utah and Colorado. And we spend a lot of our summers in Colorado. So, but I would love to go to, you know, Europe, Sweden, Switzerland, those sorts of places, and New Zealand. But yeah, I'm not a city. I literally dread the idea of going to New York City.
Yeah, I've been one time. I would love to do the, this clearly shows my ignorance, but like in the movies, the big Christmas tree where people are ice skating.
Yes.
What is that? Is that Rockefeller?
Yes, Rockefeller Center.
I don't even know, clearly.
Yeah.
I think that would be fun just for the memory of it. But I wish somebody could literally just like helicopter me in, drop me down, and then take me back.
Yes. Yes.
I'm with you. Cities are not my cup of tea. Yeah, I would be very similar. Hawaii was kind of like that. It was amazing standing there and being like, there's mountains to my right and the most gorgeous water to my left. Like, I agree, that is the perfect balance.
Beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Yep.
I love meeting soul sisters over the, this is the first time we've met. We're friends already. We're going to go to Hawaii.
Yes.
We'll see you all later.
Yes. Come on.
And get great sleep. Speaking of, do you like that transition there? That was smooth.
Yes, so, it was.
Speaking of the what behind the why, we all have heard that sleep is important. We have talked a little bit about why sleep is important, but obviously the question is, how then do we actually improve our sleep, fall asleep fast, stay asleep? One of the first things I want to talk about is the idea of the circadian rhythm. And then you also in your course mention light along with sleep cycles, which is very closely connected to the circadian rhythm. Just tell us a little bit about this idea of the circadian rhythm and sleep and wake cycles and sort of how understanding that helps ultimately.
Well, I think you have to realize that every aspect of your health flows out of sleep. So if your sleep is not optimally in duration or in quality, quantity and quality, your health will suffer. You cannot lack sleep and heal. It's really honestly that simple. And so everyone wants to put nutrition at the top or whatever it may, hormones or whatever. And it's like, okay, your body detoxes during the night, your brain detoxes during the night, you're resting, you're restoring the body through sleep. And so it has got to be the pinnacle in your healing journey. If you want to perform better, feel better, if you want your mood to feel better, you've got to sleep. You've got to focus on restoring and falling back in love with sleep, pun intended there for sure. And the reality is, sleep involves a lot more than just closing your eyes and going to sleep. We realize this in our 30s, especially. But I think when we are little kids, we can just go to sleep. There's a new song by Need to Breathe, and it's called In the Backseat. And it talks all about childhood and how I just wish I could be a child again in the backseat where I was falling asleep under the sun. And man, I dream about those days because it seems now like for many females, it becomes this thing that gets taken away. And it's like, holy crap, how do I reachieve something that's supposed to be just this natural process of closing my eyes and going to sleep? And the effects of poor sleep are reduced insulin sensitivity. So you're riding that blood sugar roller coaster all day. You're compromising your immunity. You're prematurely aging. Women are all about that. If you want to feel younger, be younger, you need to sleep better. Adipose tissue. So your cravings change. You eat poorly when you don't sleep. You have less muscle mass. And so circadian rhythm is really the goat of sleep. And the reality is, a lot of us need to retrain our circadian rhythm. And this is something that I go through in a lot of detail in my sleep course. And what that looks like is light. Light is one of the first things God created, and that's for a reason. It gives life to everything. So if you look at light as the building block to providing life for everything that you're consuming, but also for you, we are microorganisms. We're made up of trillions of cells and bacteria. And so what feeds that is light. But not only that, is light is responsible for going into our retina. And really the only reason that you know the difference between night and day is light. And so we have to respond accordingly if we want to heal our sleep. And so what does that look like? It looks like getting off of your dang screen. If you're on your screens at night, that is blue light. Blue light suppresses melatonin. So I work with all of my clients in that phase of, we need to be consuming red light because that produces melatonin. On top of that,
what time do you give people? What time frame do you say when you are, this is like bedtime, this is the end of screen time?
Yeah. So around seven. And if you can't do that, well, we need to look at your schedule and see why you can't do that.
Right. But
we
need how many hours before you turn off? So 7 o'clock, but like how much time before you go to sleep should you be turning off your screens? Like an hour?
2 hours before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm putting on full blue blockers by around 6:30 at night. A big shift that people do not think about. I'm all about habit stacking. So a lot of my clients, female clients that are fatigued out of life, they cannot sleep. They can't even think about adding one more thing into their day. I'm big on habit stacking. I have a really great episode with a friend called, her name's Cameo Pierce. And we talk all about this, but it's basically adding things in what you're already doing. So it's not another thing you have to do. And what I mean by that is people always think, okay, I'm going to go outside during the day, but you miss going out at sunset. Sunset is so important for sleep, because sunset is giving off different rays and different colors that give your retina the signal to your brain that it's time to start producing melatonin and we need to shut down cortisol. And so I always tell people, if you're going to eat outside, if it's nice outside, go on a walk and watch the sunset. It's really that simple. And we should all be going on evening walks after dinner anyways, because it helps regulate our blood sugar, which impacts our adrenal health, which impacts good cortisol levels, so we can produce enough melatonin to fall asleep and stay asleep.
One of the other things that we've practiced, well, that I have encouraged clients to practice as well, is the idea of also, if going out for an evening walk is not something that you're able, for whatever reason, fill in the blank,
or yes, kids, yes, who knows, sure,
is just simply creating that environment within your home, to Kelsey's point, where you're turning down lights. And I don't know if you talk to clients about this, but I've said this before, lights in bedrooms should not be the bright white LED lights. They should be the very, very warm, soft lights. And as I've said before, and Kelsey is clearly going to be in agreement with me here, there should be zero screens in your bedroom. So there's none of that blue light infiltrating that space. It is strictly designed to sleep, and one other recreational activity that does not need elaborated on, but basically pretty much you're just sleeping.
Yeah.
That's what should be happening. Yep. So sleep and the sex. Light to what you're saying is perfect. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, so when I was really in the bouts of my insomnia, I could not even watch TV at night. But now, thankfully, I'm in a place physiologically and mentally, emotionally, all those things where I can watch a relaxing movie. That's good for me. Like, I'm a mom of two littles. And so like, I just have to have some time. Sometimes I take a bath. Sometimes I read. Sometimes I shower. Or sometimes I watch a movie, whatever it may be, but you need to be doing things that are going to aid the body in sleep. So that can look like full blue blockers. You're putting yourself to bed. You're your phone needs to go to bed too. Leave it outside of the bedroom. You don't need it. If you need a flashlight to get up and pee in the middle of the night, which is a whole nother discussion of why you're getting up to pee, that is also associated with poor sleep, is use a traditional flashlight. You don't need that much light, or get a salt lamp and dim it and go to the bathroom, come back and go to bed. Mm-hmm. But you need to get technology out of the room. EMFs are a big thing for sleep. They interrupt your sleep-wake cycles. It is what it is. And if we can turn our Wi-Fi routers off at night, we can get our phones out of our room, you will sleep better. A lot of it, though, does go back to light. And the reason that you're saying no LEDs is they emit blue light. And so really, it all goes back to how much light exposure and why you're exposing yourself to light. So every single day, going back to habit stacking, I make my coffee, I make my breakfast, I go outside. I get 20 minutes of unfiltered sunshine every single morning and every single night. And so if you truly want to retrain from ground zero, everything the way that your body is reacting to sleep, you've got to retrain your circadian rhythm. And that is what is going to do it. It's going to be the light.
I love that. So just to recap, and correct me if I'm saying any of this wrong, but bottom line, I'm hearing that 2 hours before bedtime, you should be proactively dimming lights so that ultimately your entire sensory system is recognizing, okay, we're going to start to shut down, whether that be walking outside to get the sunset light, or even within your home, creating the same environment, dimming lights, only warm lights in the bedroom. I would also argue the bathroom can be similar to this, because we put such bright white lights in our bathrooms. But if they are the ones that you or your kids are getting ready in, not to mention, you mentioned peeing at night, you flip on the light, right? It is bright, bright white. So that's another one that I usually tell people, keep warm lights in, and then no screens. So all this 2 hours before bedtime. And one of the other questions I want to ask is, I've gotten this question and I'm curious what you will say. So research, blanket answer, is most people want about 8 hours of sleep. The body needs approximately 8 hours. There's a good reason that that number has come about. But what do you say to the person who says, I just don't need as much sleep as somebody else, where they're getting a lot less sleep, but they still feel energized and they're pushing back on the sleep number? Do you have any thoughts for people, or someone who's saying, I need so much sleep, but I don't have the time to sleep that much?
Yes. So we see this a lot in high functioning females that are, they're type A, they are go-getters, and you may think you're a biological anomaly. You are not. And so we need to figure out why your nervous system is stuck in a loop of fight or flight, constant fight or flight. And if you can do that naturally, you're going to bed early, you're waking up with the sun, I would say good on you, because that is the rhythm that we all need to be achieving, is basically going to bed somewhere around sunset. We don't all do that. We can't all do that. But if you're naturally waking up and you feel energized, like, awesome. That's amazing. I am not you. I don't want to be you. I love sleeping in.
Amen. I love sleep. Yeah.
So I would say, though, too, on the flip side of that, is females require more sleep. This is scientifically proven. It's backed, because we have so many hormonal fluctuations and we are so hormonally complex. And because we have four phases to our cycle, we require more sleep, longer bouts of sleep, more consistently. And so if you are tired in the morning and you've gotten the appropriate amount of sleep, you need to honor your body, because you've got some healing to do. So sometimes that can look like, for a couple months, we're really focusing on you getting longer sleep so your body can just catch up. But after that, we really need to be asking, why are you feeling the way that you're feeling in the morning? Why do you feel like you need to sleep all day? So this can look a lot like your blood sugar is too low in the morning, so your cortisol is not rising. Your cortisol is your get up and go hormone. We want this super high in the morning. We don't want melatonin like hanging out there anymore. And so get outside in the light. If you get yourself into the habit of waking up and eating something nutrient dense, like, I love eating a macro bar in the morning because it's good in protein, it's good in fat. We need to eat before we drink coffee, because if not, you're suppressing your appetite. You are sending your insulin out of control. Your adrenals are already tanked, which is why you can't sleep, or you feel like you need a mass amount of sleep. But while coffee is making, we're going to go outside and sip on it in the sunlight. This is going to repair things over time. Other things that have to do with needing a lot of sleep is we need to see if you have active Epstein-Barr, because this could look like mono is still hanging out in the system. It can look like you have hypothyroidism, or you might have Hashimoto's. You could have an autoimmune condition that is definitely attributing to that. Your minerals may be out of balance. But there's a lot we can do that's very simple. It's just simply restructuring how you're going about your day and what you're doing on the front end, because I work with chronic fatigue clients. And so I literally in my program and the sleep course have a sample day structure of like, at this time slot, this is what you're doing and this is why you're doing it. So around 8:39, this is what we're doing. We're making our breakfast. We're drinking mineral water. We're going outside. We're putting our bare feet to the ground. We're exposing our retina to light. And over time, you're going to start to see massive changes, because the reality is sleep begins in the morning. It's not at night. So there are things that impact our sleep at night, poorly or for the better, but in the morning, you are setting the tone for your night. So for females, this looks
like, a full cycle, just like getting up early in the morning. I'm very passionate about an early morning routine. It's changed my life. But
yes,
as I tell people, being able to establish an early morning routine starts with phase one, which is sleep. So yep. Just to your point, better sleep starts with what you're doing in the morning. And I also want to throw something out too, as somebody who absolutely loves sleep. I am by nature not an early morning riser. I have learned, though, strategies that have helped me become an early morning riser, and it has changed my life for so many reasons. However, there is a difference between feeling tired and lethargic all day versus feeling like you don't want to get out of bed in the morning. They are not the same thing.
Absolutely.
So there's there's strategies to get yourself out of bed first thing in the morning, but understand if you think there's no way I could get up early, because actually getting up earlier consistently will also help you sleep better when you have a consistent routine. However, it is not the same thing. I just want to point that out, because I know that feeling. Like, I don't want to get out of bed. And it seems like you're so exhausted, you just don't want to get out, but they're not the same thing. What she's talking about and what I have talked about before is that that's a lethargy all day long. Mm-hmm. When you establish the right patterns, you will learn, you can train your body to become an early morning riser, even if you are not naturally. But I just wanted to point that out. It's not the same thing as that lethargic all day long.
So yeah, chronic fatigue and insomnia often go hand in hand. And I actually just did a great post on my Instagram about this, is how can I still be so tired and struggle with insomnia? And it's because physiologically, like, you are so backwards, what you're doing during the day is impacting you at night. Yeah. And then conversely, you all of a sudden get avoidance patterns built in because you don't want to go to sleep, because you're
dread going to bed. Exactly.
Yes. So then those things that you're doing to avoid sleep are actually making the problem much worse. And so this is where you cannot extract and isolate things, because everything is involved in sleep. Your mental, emotional reaction to sleep, your physiological patterns during the day. So something I see a lot with females is this. We're going to wake up late. We're late for whatever we got to do. So we're shoving a banana down our mouth and we're drinking coffee. This is a
And we're
disaster.
Throwing on sweatpants.
Yes.
And we're not doing
whatever.
We feel like a hot mess.
Yes. So you're literally, breakfast is setting the tone for the day, but it's not the breakfast you were trained to eat. It's not oatmeal and banana. That is a blood sugar disaster. Blood sugar plays so much intricately with your satiation, with your cravings, with your ability or inability to lose weight, to be metabolically flexible, and to sleep at night. And so stop drinking coffee on an empty stomach. This is a horrible idea because it suppresses your appetite, even if you're hungry. So it trains you to fast longer than you should, which impacts your thyroid and it impacts your adrenals, which all impact your sleep. So I always tell my female clients, stop drinking coffee on an empty stomach. And if you're going to, add some cream and maple sugar, so you've got some good fat and some good glucose. At least you're not drinking black coffee. But ideally, we want to be eating something before we're drinking coffee. But if we're starting out our day from a place of mental, emotional stress, and also we're stressing our body out with those habits, it's just going to impair your sleep even more. That's what I mean about the things that you're doing during the day impact your night. And another thing is, we've got to step out of the stress. So we've got to like take a step back and go, I react to everything in a stressful way, but is that actually appropriate? Like, do I need to be stressed right now? Probably not. can take a couple deep breaths, take a drink of water, like it's going to be okay. There are moments in time where you need that fight or flight to kick in, but daily, multiple times a day, is going to lead to mineral imbalances. It's going to burn your adrenals out, and it's just not a good thing.
And your cortisol is just going to stay elevated, just ultimately.
Yes. And so,
to stress you out.
Yeah, I think just like approaching stress in a totally different manner too. But really, it's just like I said, like going about your day in a different way. And so shifting, if you want to see change, you have to change the way you're doing things. It's really that simple.
Right.
The problem is we don't know what to do and we don't know what to change. And so this is why I'm so passionate about, you know, I always say like, yeah, I could talk about sleep all day long, but it's really the front end of sleep that I love to do like a total makeover on.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to throw in here too, because some of you might be, so what you're mentioning about coffee. So for those of you listening to or any of my clients, so I practice 16-8 intermittent fasting. There's a lot of good research to it. We do drink coffee within that fasted period without eating, although you can like scoop of collagen peptides. There's going to be some protein there. However, I want to point out, because I'm going to argue that we're both right in this and some of it's contextual. So to Kelsey's point, I would agree. If you are not nutritionally balanced, which many, many women aren't, the number one imbalance that I see is lack of protein.
Yep.
And then you are waking up to her, what she's saying, you're already in this stress-induced state. Your cortisol level is too elevated to begin with on a regular basis. And then you are fueling yourself with caffeine, which is going to increase your heart rate, is going to add to that feeling of stress. And then you've got these blood sugar imbalances already. So she is also right in that if that is already where you're at, then it is totally appropriate that you should be eating before you drink black coffee. That being said, on the flip side, with intermittent fasting, it's only going to be beneficial if you are properly fueling in your fed window. And one of the huge elements to that is getting enough protein. And that is why then my clients don't have any problem, why I don't have any problem drinking black coffee in the morning and not eating until 10, 11, even 12. It is because we have learned how to fuel our body with a much higher content of protein, which is going to stabilize that blood sugar. But that is next level. It is another approach and it is a much deeper nutritional dive. So I just want to point that out in case anyone's like, oh, she's saying this, but Anna has said this.
Yes. We're
both right. It's contextual. So I just wanted to throw that in there because
it's highly individual, right? So like we see with a lot of women who are menopause specifically, whenever you stop menstruating, the job of your hormones go back to the adrenals. Well, if you've spent from your 20s to your 40s, killing your adrenals, your biofeedback is not in a place where you are good to do a lot of intermittent fasting. This is going to backfire on you. However, more advanced strategy, I would say long-term to autophagy and becoming metabolically flexible. Is intermittent fasting. Like we look back, we didn't always have food. And so you had to train your body appropriately. I would also say with females, like you're saying, this is very individual. Like, where are you at in your cycle? Like probably not a good idea if you're menstruating to be fasting because that's highly stressful and you're already detoxing. So it just depends. It's a highly individualized approach. And if you're in a state of emergency, like we need to get you balanced and then we can introduce some of these more complex strategies like intermittent fasting. But if your biofeedback is not in a good place, probably not the best thing to induce more stress on the body. So yes, this is what I love about having these conversations is we are both right here, but we just have to look at the individual and going like, where are you at right now? Because if this is what you're struggling with, it could be that you just need a little bit more protein and we can get you to that. Or it could be that like we need to redo a lot of things and get your nutrient reserves up and your blood sugar balance and your cortisol balance. And then we can talk about fasting.
Yeah, there's so many, like Kelsey is saying, I think the bottom line is there's rarely one answer fixes all. Just like I would never recommend that somebody only start implementing one thing and not addressing. It's a multi-layered approach and it's complex. It's complex. Well, there need to be multiple strategies.
Yes, fasting and keto sometimes like go hand in hand, but right, this is a great example. It's like there's a really good way to do fasting and then there's a really bad way to do fasting. Same thing with keto. Like, there's a great way to do keto. And then, like, if you're pounding cream cheese and bacon all day, like, just so you can, your ketones are leveled, like,
yeah,
that's horrid. Like, don't do that.
Well, and just to be clear, I'm not a fan of keto. I'm very pro carbs.
I think
our body was designed to function optimally with carbs.
Yes.
So let me just also 100%. Throw that out there. If you're visiting me from Kelsey and you're like, oh, is her program keto? It is not.
No.
I'm very pro-carbs.
And I think if you're in an emergency state in the body, like with cancer, there can be answers to that through that, right? But I think that we humans are interesting, right? Like we alluded to at the beginning of this episode, is we go in extremes. And it's like, no, if everything is balanced in the body, we can take a balanced approach. But if we're like 911 level right now, like we've got to get you back to center through a lot of different modalities to try to get you back to where you can do some of these things.
Yeah. And sleep being really one of the number one
at the top.
So before we wrap it up here, give me some of your top sleep hacks. Like somebody who is currently struggling with sleep, whether it be like best sleeping posture to like the culture of your bedroom, whatever it is, like what would your best sleeping hacks be?
So I would say we need to eat enough. Females are notorious for under eating, especially protein. Dr. Gabrielle Lyons just did a phenomenal episode on everything to the musculoskeletal structure and how it impacts everything with protein. Like we females need protein. Yep. So eating nutrient dense foods is good. Making sure you're eating enough, drinking water with minerals. As a society, we're so depleted in magnesium.
I'm like taking a drink right now as she's talking.
Yes. Yes. So adding minerals to your water, please be filtered water, balancing your blood sugar. I approach every meal with blood sugar balance in mind, because if we can get off the insulin roller coaster and we're not up here super high and then crashing down and then we need glucose to bring us back up, and then it just repeats this pattern. So eating a blood sugar balancing meal, reducing inflammatory foods, whatever that might be for you individually. I love raw dairy. I can't have it right now. It's still an amazing superfood. So we're all, you know, context and individuality there, but that could be a trigger food for you. Gluten is pretty much a trigger food for everybody across the board, especially from a inflammation standpoint. So if you're struggling with sleep and inflammation, cut gluten for a while. Keeping it simple. We don't need to have this super complex schedule. Many of us need to reduce what we're doing so we can sleep better at night. It's just being efficient with what we're doing, knowing why we're doing it, and knowing how it's benefiting the body. I would say never eat naked carbs. Like, this is a big thing. You may not agree with me here, but I think pairing your carbs with a protein or fat is huge. So we're not seeing those insulin spikes. This is balancing, again, balancing blood sugar. But to your point,
I would say nutrient dense carbs is all I would say there. Your point, either one is a good, but basically nutrient dense in my world is, simply put, look for carbs that are higher in fiber. That will be more stabilizing for your blood sugar. But agree.
Yes.
It's still naked carbs are simple carbs.
Like cake and sweets and, you know, all these sorts of things. But starchy carbs produce serotonin, and serotonin produces melatonin. So you can see, but also so do amino acids. So protein. If you come from the context of low fat, low carb, you're probably not producing serotonin, which is impacting your mood and is also impacting your sleep. So you can see how nutrient reserves and nutrition play a huge role. Fats also help make hormones. So I would say getting your central clock right. So that's retraining the circadian rhythm. I would say putting your phone to bed, but also like looking at what you're doing. You cannot beat the rhythms of nature. So I think if you just observe how nature functions is how we should function. We need to rise with the sun and we need to go to bed with the sun setting. And everything that we do in between those two bookends is going to impact sleep. So we need to focus on eating nutrient-dense foods, getting enough light exposure, general movement. We love to go into the gym and we love to do a fasted Orange Theory workout. This is a disaster, in my opinion. If you're going to go do a fasted workout, pick up heavy weights. We need to build muscle. And this is where protein really comes in too, is I think females are doing way, way, way too much cardio and they're not building lean muscle mass. Don't be afraid of the weights. It's not going to make you bulky. And if you are trying to think of like the outline of my courses, like retraining the circadian rhythm, looking at nutrition, looking at the adrenals, looking at blood sugar, looking at light exposure, and supplementation is huge. Supplements truly have bridged the gap for me in so many ways. So we want to, like I said, not feel like we're on an island and just have to be put on sleeping medication for the rest of our life while also looking at the factors that are impacting our sleep. But I take sleep supplements nightly because they are doing so much more than just aiding sleep. They're impacting
what
quality
would be the
quantity
top two
of sleep.
Sleep supplements that you would recommend?
It truly depends. But if we're talking from a very global perspective here, my favorite sleep supplement is probably Beam Dream. It's called Beam, B-E-A-M, Dream.
And what is it?
And Beam, it's a CBD cocktail at night, and it has trace minerals, it has magnesium.
Tell people what CBD is. We all have heard CBD, but a lot of people don't actually understand what it actually is.
So a really CBD,
brief, high overview.
Yeah, it's a hemp product. It is not marijuana. You can now get completely THC-free CBD. CBD, we have what's called an endocannabinoid system in our body. It directly impacts the liver. The liver is what is going to make the majority of your hormones, especially for your thyroid. Your liver is also very, very sensitive to insulin and the production of insulin and how it operates with blood sugar. And so I really feel that the endocannabinoid system is depleted. And so when we take CBD, this endocannabinoid, these stores that the fat cells actually store over time, CBD and THC, and it actually retrains the sleep cycle over time. So when you take periodic breaks from it, the body still has it in circulation for up to 2 weeks. It's pretty incredible. But Beam is just the most delicious drink you will have at night. And it's kind of a ritualized thing, right? You warm up your mug, you've got good, like clean water, you're adding a scoop of it. And it takes like 30 to 45 minutes to kick in, but it tastes like you're drinking super yummy hot chocolate. They also have limited edition flavors right now, like apple pie, caramel. And it's really just a really good baseline to meet a lot of nutrient needs for sleep and restoring the endocannabinoid system. This is going to impact mood problems like anxiety approaching sleep. And then you're helping your body produce melatonin on its own.
Is that a pill or a powder, or how
drink,
is that?
You can drink tart cherry. You can take it. I take it in a capsule at night, so I'm not drinking excessive fluids at night.
Are you doing it every night?
I do it every single night. I will take breaks though. I cycle my supplements. Mm-hmm. So I'm not taking one nutrient for too long. And occasionally I will take nothing. And I'll just take a good reset for a couple of days, and then I'll reintroduce a different type of routine.
Yeah. And that's true of, I mean, like melatonin, even for people who are taking melatonin, I have gotten asked this a lot, and you will become resistant to it. If you are taking melatonin, it should be ideally no more than, it should be at least two nights separating, if not more, because your body will get resistant to it.
Yes.
Well, we could talk forever about sleep. Kelsey and I could go on for a long time.
Yes.
Where can people find you? You have so many amazing things happening at holyacademy.com. Girls rock star. I should say Holy Well Academy. All the links will be included on the show notes, especially to her sleep course, since that is what we really honed in here. But tell us all where we can find you.
So I have a podcast. It's called the Holy Well Podcast.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I would love to have you on, Anna.
Let's go. I would love
Let's talk a lot about all the things that we love. And so you can find me there, the Holy Well Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find me hanging out on Instagram a lot. And that's at holy.well. So holy.well. And then you can opt into my freebies via my email list. I do not spam you. I only send two out a month. They're loaded with resources and new podcast episodes. And I'm fixing to come out with an additional fatigue freebie in the next week. And you can follow my website, which is holywell.health. And then in addition to that, I launched the Holy Well Academy. So all of my education lives on that place.
Love
and that's
it.
Also where like you'll find my sleep course or my 90-day program. So that's where you can find me. I'm also on TikTok because I hear that's like the newest, greatest, latest thing.
I refuse. this yeah. social media stuff is all
it's just nonsense. Getting to be oh, a lot word. And I yeah I
good for you
I love I'm like no, I love no to do this the interaction yes. the speaking, real life people. The, yes it's just so much better. I feel like it provides so much value to people. I feel like we you know, obviously stayed pretty surfacey, but like I have a happy hormones freebie you can load. I have a sleep tracker, sleep table that you can download. So there's a lot of resources that I love to give to people that just need a lifeline, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think
and on this is all on her website. All yes, on her website. Yes. Holy well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, really, if you want the free resources, you can go to my Instagram and my bio, and that's where you can find my Perfect. Link tree and download and all that.
That'll all be mm-hmm. on our notes. If you're watching on YouTube, you just look in the description, or you can go to hammersandhugs.com to my website, and there will be all there on the show notes. Kelsey, I yep. pray God's richest blessings over your home, oh. over your business, everything that you are doing. I love what you do, and you're changing lives for so many women and empowering Thank them to thrive. So, yeah, it was an
I honor. Love how you ended that. I'm a strong believer as well, and I really think that it goes back to what God has given us, and he's given us so much to heal and to live full, healthy, vibrant lives. And so if you are in a place of feeling like you're just not where you know you need to be from a functional standpoint, there are so many amazing people you can reach out to now that, yeah. that are discovering this, like Anna or myself or whoever it may be. But ultimately, like, he's such a good creator. And I think if we Amen. Really look at how he has created our inner being and our body and the rhythms of nature, just pulling back and living in a simple way in the way that he intended, you will find so much richness in your life and so much healing and so much hope. So I would just like to conclude with that.
Amen. Love it. Thank you, Kelsey.
All right. Thank you, Anna.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Imperfectly Empowered Podcast. I would love to hear your thoughts from today. Head to your preferred podcasting platform and give the show an honest review and let me know what you think. Remember, you cannot be redefined, only redeveloped one imperfect day at a time. Your story matters and you are loved.